From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of June 2011. By the time Monday rolls around, Prevent plant and crop insurance will be in play. Today we'll hear from ag economist Daryl Good and Gary Schnitke. We'll talk about the marketplace with Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana, the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, and the weather forecast with Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Friday afternoon, futures in Chicago at the CME finished mixed for the day. July wheat at four higher, 773 and three quarters. September there up three quarters at 819 and a half. December down a half at 871. July of next year for the soft red, down three at $9.18 and a quarter. The spring wheat in Minneapolis in the nearby gained 41 cents today to settle at $10.60 and a half. And the hard red July at 914 and a quarter was up five and a quarter in Kansas City. Corn futures were lower across the board. July contract at $7.54, down 12 and a half cents. September at 731, 10 and a half lower. And December at 686 and a quarter, down eight and three quarters. March corn 697 and a quarter, eight and a quarter lower. And July at 710 and three quarters for next year, down 8.5 cents. December of 2012, three and a quarter lower at $6.12 and a quarter cents. July soybean futures were up 7.5 cents today. A settlement price at $14.14 and a half cents. The August at $14.07 and a half, up seven. And September at $14.01 and a half cent, up 5 and a quarter for the day. November beans $13.97, up 4 and a quarter. January at $14.04 and a half cents, up 4 and a half. July soybean meal at $368.40, up $2.40. July soybean oil at $58.73, down 18. CME Group live cattle futures finished the August contract at $105.10, up $1.42 and a half. September feeders at $125.80, up 90 cents. And the July lean hogs for 100 pounds at $87.85, down 12 and a half cents on this Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures nearby July contract, $100.62 a barrel, up 22 cents. Ethanol at $2.64 even, down a penny and 2 tenths. Natural gas at $4.70 and 3 tenths of a cent a gallon, down a 9 and a tenth of a cent per gallon. And the heating oil or diesel fuel up 2 and 3 tenths of a cent at $3.06 and 7 tenths of a cent. Gold futures finished the June contract $9.70 higher at $1,541.70 an ounce. And the Dow Jones now just about 73 points lower at 12,173. The U.S. dollar at 73.76 is down 0.54. The CRB index at 348.61 is up 0.71 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 90 degrees, south winds at 14 miles an hour, though gust all the way to 20 today. Partly cloudy, a low of 73 this evening, south winds at about 9 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny, a high of 92 degrees, south-southwest winds at 8 to 11. Winds could gust as high as 16. Chance of precip tomorrow, just 30%. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers continues. Thunderstorms, too. Mostly cloudy, a low of 68. North-northwest winds at 7 miles an hour. And mostly sunny skies on Sunday, the high of 87 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 65. Monday, sunny and 86. Monday night, cloudy and 68. Tuesday, sunny and 90 degrees. Tuesday night, cloudy and a low of 70. Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 90 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 70. By the time we get to Thursday of next week, still sunny, a high of 89 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour. And we talk with meteorologist Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Urbana, Champaign.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Friday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Mike Zuzlow. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Happy Friday, Todd.
Happy Friday to you. Well, the big day rolls around on Sunday. It's the same day that USDA will wrap up this week's crop progress reports, and we'll find out a whole lot more on Monday about prevent planting, I suppose, maybe. Not much, I suppose, but we'll have a better way to estimate and what's left to plant. What do you think producers will do?
I think most of the producers in the last 3 days in eastern Indiana and Ohio have continued to try and plant a little bit more corn. I think the futures market picked up on that nicely the last couple days of the trade. I would also say, though, that I've been keeping just an anecdotal and unscientific poll of the guys I talked to over there. There are some extra bean acres going in. Anywhere from 15 to 40% of corn acres is going to go ahead and get put into beans. They're not going to take preventive planting. They're going to go ahead and try and get a full season yield out of the beans and go for, you know, that bigger yield and higher price and see if that doesn't work out for them. So I think the trade probably did not pick up on that, has not picked up on that. Maybe we'll have to wait until the July report. I doubt, you know, the USDA would do much in the June 9th report, but we'll have to keep an eye out.
Indeed. So tell me, as you consider all of this, what does it mean to you as a broker, as somebody who's advising folks on cash grain sales? Do they just stand aside the market? Do they take advantage of the market? For instance, and maybe I should just narrow it down to, if a producer's made a decision to put beans in the ground, do they need to make some kind of protective move?
I think they do. Back in 2006, on the same Monday as this week, we only had about 42% of the beans planted. We still ended up having a final yield of 42.9 bushels. I think between that and seeing today that China is exporting soy meal, doubling their April shipments, expectations are that there's going to be a lot more to come and that they're going to compete with Argentina and India for the Asian market. I think when I put the demand and the supply numbers together, and it goes back to what we talked about last week, I have to watch the technicals and I have to watch the speculative investors. But as long as I buy puts in the beans, I think that's a good route to go. The people in eastern Indiana and western Ohio that are going after more bean acres, I am recommending to them to get those beans locked in right away, because I think what we've seen here in the last couple of weeks and trying to take a step back from all of the things that are happening right now, Todd, is that I think the macroeconomic data that we're looking at does suggest that this rally in commodities is no longer demand-led. I think that this week and last week shows us in the grains that it is more weather-led, it is more supply-led. So going back to like a 1980-type rally, going back to an 88 rally, going back to a 96 or an 08 rally, when you turn into, you know, usually rallies start as demand-led, but then they end up being supply-led. And when they get to the supply-led stage, they get a lot more violent and they get a lot more ugly. Back in 80, we had a nine-month rally. We took the market up sharply. Within 3 months, we had lost about 38% of the total run. In 87, 88, we had a 17-month rally. In 4 months, we'd lost 49% of that, all of that rally, you know, of that whole rally, we lost almost half of it. Same type of, you know, sentiment, same type of price action in 96 and in 08. So I do think that it would be wise for producers to look at a monthly corn and monthly bean chart this weekend and take a hard look at it, then look at their crops and say, maybe I should start to get a little bit more hedged.
All right. So you're going to do that with the monthlies. Can you take up the technical picture for new crop corn? It did manage to make a new life of contract high this week. It settled lower for the day today, but if I remember right, that settlement price even was above the old contract high.
It was, and what we noticed was the July contract closed down for the week. The July contract essentially got trapped with the wheat. The wheat was down 46 cents for the week in the new crop July. That Russian export news early in the week, the weather in the eastern Corn Belt opening up, those two things came in and really hit the corn, it seemed like to me. And so the Dease corn only closed up about 2.25 cents for the week. The technical picture for me in the corn is that it's on the upper end of the range, that the front end has stopped leading it, and that as soon as I get sell signals and I see some things happen in the outside markets, it is a good hedge. It is a good paper hedge to be made. I've always told clients ever since probably a month, month and a half ago, it'd be nice to stretch our legs over $7 and get that next big push up. But if the beans and the outside market start to turn lower and the wheat doesn't come back around, I may have to cut that rally potential short. But I'll start with the beans, end up with the corn. I see the beans and corn more overvalue. I see the wheat as very undervalue at this point. And if I can't see a turnaround in it, then I suspect that in 20, 30 days, that dollar break we saw in the wheat, we have to be open for that type of a break in the corn and beans, because typically the wheat rally comes about 20 to 30 days before the row crop. So everything I'm going to be recommending, those are going to be on paper, and for the most part, except for aggressive hedgers, going to be limited risk.
And are you doing anything with the livestock folks at this time?
In fact, I am. I'm going ahead and recommending that we pull off the later summer, early fall hedges and hogs. And I also am inclined to think that with the summer heat coming, we'll get the summer grilling season. I'm hearing from producers, livestock producers, actually one real nice fellow called me after the Will Radio segment last Friday when we talked about the sow numbers, and he said, I am letting sows go, but I'm replacing it with gilt. So I think we'll see tighter numbers in the late summer. I've had some other guys in Indiana tell me the same thing. So maybe the supplies are going to become a little bit better in terms of supporting the market. So I'm going to go a little bit more to the sidelines on my cattle and hog hedges.
Anything else before I let you go?
Grease is on the table. I was on a blog in Europe this afternoon, and they're talking about another update and another bailout for Europe on Saturday, Sunday, so we'll have to watch for that, Todd. And then OPEC meets the day before the USDA report on June 8th to decide if they're going to push their output up. So we got a lot on next week's plate.
All right. Should be fun. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Be good.
Mm-hmm. You too. That's Mike Zuzalo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. You can always hear us again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. We post that at about 6 o'clock on Friday evenings. That's the 9th before we ever air it on any radio station. You can pick Commodity Week up at willag.org. Our guest in studio this week, Dan Zwicker, Paul Cooley, and Greg Johnson. Our guest on the phone is Alan Bugler. Commodity Week at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the weather in the Midwest has been alarming in many ways. Along with the devastating tornadoes have come torrential and unyielding rainfalls. And as you'll hear, it may push farmers to a decision they won't like, a decision not to plant. Nobody buys insurance in hopes of using it, but there comes a time when it's needed. That time for farmers in the Corn Belt is fast approaching. For most, it will be June 5th, some May 31st, or a few other dates. Nonetheless, it will arrive soon. If the corn has not been planted by those dates, the crop insurance most farmers buy can kick in to cover the losses, but only if they decide not to plant at all, says University of Illinois farm management specialist Gary Schnitke.
So when that date comes, farmers can take preventive planting and take a preventive planting payment, or they can plant corn. So at that point in time, the decision will be which will likely lead to the highest net returns, preventive planting or planting corn.
That question, to plant or not, is rather like deciding to turn in a fender bender on your car insurance. Would you be better off just paying out of pocket to fix it yourself, or having the insurance company pay to fix it? There are risks with both. In this case, farmers must decide whether or not planting corn, or for that matter another crop like soybean, would provide a better income than the prevent plant payment. Gary Schnitke says in most of the places where the corn has yet to be planted, the yields are low enough, the crop insurance prevent plant may be the better option.
That's correct. If we're looking at, southern Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, and upper Midwest, people have to take good look at that, because preventive planting will, by a lot of calculations, yield more return than planting corn, particularly given that corn will have lower yields given that it's planted at this point in time.
In general, Gary Schnitke says Prevent Plant will pay more than either corn or soybeans at the 75% crop insurance coverage level and above. Now, he uses a cash corn price of $6.40 a bushel, $13.30 for soybeans, to make those calculations. The break-even yields at the 75% coverage level are 121 bushels to the acre for corn, 46 for soybeans, and those go up as the coverage level goes up. If you'd like to read more on the economics of Prevent Plant, you can visit the Farm Doc Daily website. Search Google for the words Farm Doc Daily. One other note on Prevent Plant and its provisions from Gary Schnitke. For those making that decision, Prevent Plant does not have an impact on APH, but planting corn will impact APH. Just a small and subtle thing to remember as you're making decisions about Prevent Plant. Now up next, you know, corn futures have rallied, of course, to new contract highs in the last week. And as you'll hear from ag economist Darrell Good, it was a sign to producers not to make any more sales. There is a time to stand aside the market, and it has arrived for corn, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
You know, now that we've seen December corn move to new highs, and we have all this uncertainty about acreage, my feeling is the market is still a little too complacent about the risk on the size of the 2011 corn crop from an acreage and a yield standpoint. Yes, we could luck out this summer and make up some of the ground we've lost here this spring, but you're not going to make up for acreage that didn't get planted. So I think basically now is the time for the next few weeks, maybe until we see the June reports, depending on what the market does in front of those reports. If we get substantial rally, yes, we got to react to that, but that's going to be critical information in the June 30 stocks and acreage reports. And my tendency is to want to wait on those at this point.
Not only that, but Darrell Good thinks soybeans are more than a reluctant follower to the upside in this volatile marketplace, too. And when asked, he has a one-word answer for this question. Should a farmer wait to make any more new crop corn and soybean sales?
Yes.
Here is some of Darrell Good's reasoning behind the stand-aside recommendation, and it's not just all about the late-planted crop.
Historically, we've had years of extremely wet springs and late planting. You know, the thing that really makes this year a little bit different is in terms of the alternatives that producers have. In the past, basically, there was an incentive to get something planted, even if you had to switch to a shorter season crop like soybeans or something. This year, when a lot of the folks with crop insurance may have a Prevent Plant alternative, that really changes the equation quite a bit in terms of how many acres may eventually get planted to something this year.
Add to that the potential yield losses that have been racking up as the days pass and the planters have gone to the field late and things turn really short very quickly on the supply side of the ledger.
It really does. I mean, you know, the agronomists are quick to say we don't know what potential yield is in any given year because that depends so much on July and August weather, but then would say whatever the potential is based on summer weather, late planting probably has reduced yield from that potential. So you could still have what we might refer to as a good yield or a decent yield with late planted crops, but we would think it would not live up to potential because it was planted late. And, you know, not only for corn, but I think the market may be beginning to realize that we also have some late planted yield impacts on soybeans, and this is shaping up to be one of the latest planted soybean crops we've had in the last 40 years. So we may be looking at some problems there as well.
Best then, thanks Darrell Good, to not make new crop sales until at least June 30th, when USDA will estimate how many acres of corn and soybeans U.S. farmers planted this season, and how much of that expected crop might be around by the time the fall of 2012 arrives. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and all of their elevators across the good portion of central Illinois joins us now to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there.
Okay, so I have on this program so far one who says don't make sales, one who says make sales. How about you?
I guess mine depends on whether you have or not already. I don't know if I'd be comfortable over a 25-30% sold level right now, but if I don't have anything sold, it'd be an interesting place to get started with something.
Interesting indeed. What's basis look like in your area?
Basis keeps gradually moving higher. We've seen nearby corn pick up another penny over the course of the week. That takes us up to 2 over on the nearby. That's up 15 cents from a month ago. New crop also gained a penny. That's up 6 cents from a month ago. So pretty stemmy basis improvement along with the board rally.
Board has rallied, and it rallied more this week in the new crop than it did the old crop. Did that surprise you?
Not really. It looks like we're getting the old crop situation at least some type of a handle on it. We have plenty of an inverse to defer, to encourage importers to defer purchases to new crop. We're seeing some rationing start to happen out there. And if you're concerned about corn going in the ground and what the production is going to be, you're going to focus more on the new crop. And the funds have started to run their purchases out there, too.
So rationing happening, and part of that because of the spread between old and new crop and what might be possible for the exporters, right?
Right.
And then end users, though, that have to have the crop here domestically on a regular daily and monthly basis still need to pull crop in?
They still need to pull crop in, although it's not one of these surprise problems. They've had months and months to work on getting a position on. That doesn't mean that they're all covered, but they're probably in better shape than we were back in the middle 90s when we were in this situation. And at some point, it depends on what they can sell their end product for. You know, they're all looking at what their, in essence, crush margin is, and do they keep running or do they throttle back?
And what do you think they'll do when we get to August?
I think we will see areas in short crop situations where you have higher basis costs, shutting the plants down because you won't be able to efficiently operate.
And the further east you go, the more likely that is?
Yes.
I thought so. Your bids for the day.
We are at 756 on nearby corn and 1418 on soybeans.
Hey, thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA, will be on hand.
It's National Chocolate Macaroon Day. Like many foods, the origins of the macaroon are murky, but some historians trace it back to an Italian monastery. The pastry became popular in France in the 18th century. It's also St. Morad's Day, patron of wine growers and winemakers. He founded the Monastery of St. Christopher and is said to have lived the whole of each Lent on a single bunch of grapes. On this day in agricultural history, in 1539, Hernando de Soto claimed Florida for Spain. He landed 9 ships, 620 men, and 220 horses at Charlotte Harbor, Florida. In 1841, Nicholas Francis Aperit died. He was inventor of the canning process, preserving food by sealing it in sterilized containers. He published the results of 14 years of research in 1810 and received a 12,000 franc award from French government officials for his efforts. And in 1844, Wilbur Atwater was born. An American scientist, Atwater developed agricultural chemistry. He received a Ph.D. from Yale in 1869 for his studies on the chemical composition of corn, and he established the first agricultural experimental station in the U.S. in 1875. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the weather forecast is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA and located right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Thanks for being with us, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It looks like calmer skies for the next week. Is that right?
Yeah, it looks like we just really went from, I don't know, were we ever really in spring, but we went right into summer, and it looks like we're going to sort of stay in that kind of pattern through the next week. We got sort of ridging developing over us in the upper atmosphere, and warm, humid air will be basically remain in place over the Midwest this weekend and through next week, I think. There will be some little disturbances that could set off some scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms here and there, maybe concentrated if there is any concentration across northern Illinois where the frontal boundary will tend to be hanging out. But it looks very summer-like here for the next week to maybe even 10 days.
Tell me about daytime lows or daytime highs and nighttime lows.
Yeah, daytime highs probably getting well into the 80s and perhaps low 90s at times. As these little disturbances come through and we get some clouds that tend to keep things down. But overnight lows probably generally in the 60s. We're not seeing terribly oppressive dew points yet, but we maintain southerly flow for a while, for a few days. We'll start to see dew points climbing a little bit, and it'll make things a tad bit uncomfortable. But, you know, we were very fortunate early in the week, even with the warm weather. We had some good windy weather as well, and dew points were not too high, so that helped dry out fields quite a bit.
Yeah, it looks like those winds will stay with us for a couple of days still here, and then things calm down really big time by the time we start next week. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's not going to be the dog days of summer, but it definitely will be more be calmer. We won't get the strong breezes that we've had, but it does look like we'll keep some winds during the day and then keep the air moving, and we should be able to continue some of that evaporation from the fields. But right now, I think pretty much ideal conditions. Soil moisture conditions are in good shape, actually too much in some places, but we should see that start to even out here over the next week or so, and right now it looks pretty good.
The month of May 2011 is now in the history books. How does it compare?
Oh, it was a weird month. if you look at the map, the temperature map for the month, you'd say, well, it was normal, near normal temperatures here in May in Illinois, but that hardly tells a story because we were on a temperature roller coaster the whole month, from very cool to very warm, back to very cool, back to very warm. Rainfall was generally heavy in the southern part of the state and along the Ohio River, especially early in the month. We had some heavier rain in northern Illinois late in the month. Overall, just about average, but a little too much at one time.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. For Commodity Week, posted after 6 o'clock this evening, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.